Hey guys, welcome to For the Kudos Q&A episode one. We're still working on the title of that. We've had a few submissions for names, but none we really like yet. But my name's Brett.
You've got one. Yeah. My name's Joel.
So plan is to go through a few questions that people have been sending in. Keep sending questions in. This all relies on you guys because if this fails, it's your fault.
Your fault. Yeah, we take no responsibility. There was when we posted the first question poll on Instagram last week, we had a massive amount of responses and somehow we can't access them. We've gone into the archive of our story and we can't see them. So if you had if you remember...
It's like a glitch on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I can do it on mine, but not on...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow, I didn't check.
So that if you have good questions.
Yeah, if you have a good question that you wrote in and you want us to answer, write it again. And if you had a shit question, don't worry about it.
Yeah, save your time, think of a good question and make this and a successful thing.
Yeah.
Also, we're a bit nervous about this one because we actually have to read. And you're going to realize I can barely read. I can speak, but I can barely read.
Don't try and bring me down onto your level.
All of a sudden, my stutter's going to come back out.
We said it's FDK Q&A. If you do have a better name suggestion for this, please write in. So taking it away with question number one, Mickey Sinclair, one of my new Pulse athletes, he said, what's your approach to easy runs? Do they get quicker as you get fitter?
I think they do naturally. But I think my approach to easy runs is just recovering. From the day before, making sure I'm not tiring myself out for the next session that's coming up. Yeah, they're important as a whole, as the whole big training plan, but each individual easy run isn't important. So I wouldn't stress about running whatever splits.
Mm.
It's more just go out, see how you feel.
Yeah. You don't have to set yourself a time. I think you should set a time so it's not you never go slower than say for us we wouldn't be going slower than 5 minute pace or 5:30 pace because it's almost like we're not even in an aerobic zone, it's not even getting a benefit from it, but also we don't want to be running quicker than 50s or something,
me today, I raced yesterday and then I've started my easy run and my body feels pretty shit, pretty stiff, and I don't know, my first game was 5:30. And then my second one was 5 minutes.
Yeah, I ran 5 minute pace my whole
run. Yeah, and then I ended up then getting into it once my body's warm. So, yeah, that's another thing I like to do is start off really slow, a little shuffle.
I've just realised by you saying that, we've just admitted that we record these Q&A straight after the normal podcast.
Damn.
We don't have to do this every week, but it's fine. I would say for me, I would say they definitely get quicker as you get fitter, because I remember as a triathlete, I would run a 5 minute pace all the time for all my aerobic running. And I think my fastest 5K as a triathlete was 14:20 or something, 14:25, 14:30. And it's now I run, between 4 and 4:10 and I am fitter, but it feels the same as what it used to be. Yeah. 5 minute pace for me now feels really slow. Yeah. I just very rarely run at that pace. So yeah, definitely they do get fitter, but also allow your fitness to dictate. Don't then think, oh shit, I'm going to push them. If you start thinking that and then go, oh, I'm going to start running quicker, oh, because that means I'm fitter. It's no, actually.
It's more the other way.
Yeah.
You just kind of naturally get more comfortable. You're still feeling comfortable. You're feeling the same effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but good question.
Good question. Matt _ foot, this is for you, Brett. Favorite marathon workout?
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. So I think for me, one that we do a few weeks out from a marathon, maybe two or so weeks, is pretty much you replicate a marathon, kind of, or the feeling of – you try to get the feeling you're going to have towards the end. Obviously, you got a lot of training in your legs, so you're tired, so that comes into it too. So this one I'm looking at is I did – in 2019, but
this is before London.
Yeah, so I did 1 hour easy run and then 10K. I quickly changed shoes, so they're it was a really quick change.
Yeah, you're not doing drills,
not doing drills, and you're not stopping. Then I ran a 10K in 30:17, so which is bit quicker than marathon pace for me. Then did a 1K.
What's funny is that's what you thought the marathon.
Yeah, I thought this was marathon pace for me. Yeah. It's my hopeful marathon pace. Yeah, exactly. But and then 1K in 4 minutes. So which is going back to a jog, but it's still solid. It's not just shuffling.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes of minute on, minute off. And so those minutes are like kind of, for me, I'm going down to like, I don't know, below 10K pace. And then
like
back
250 sort of.
Yeah, but yeah, 250 or below. Yeah. And then going back to say 320, 330 pace.
Okay.
So it ends up that 20 minutes, like you're still averaging like, for me, like 3 minute Ks or just over. And then 1K easy, again in like 4 minutes. And then 5K pretty much as hard as you can run.
Yeah.
So for me this day it was 14:55, which is, so at that point I'd already run 33K. And then ran a 14:55.
Yeah.
And then 2K.
So that's supposed to replicate the last
kind of what you would feel. Yeah. Like, so when you have to, yeah. So I think it's probably replicating if you're having a good day and you're running well still.
Yeah.
And then pushing it at the end.
Yeah.
Obviously you can't really train for like when you really start to struggle because, it just doesn't really happen in training. Yeah. It only happens in a marathon at the end.
So you know about that. It's one of the hardest things is to replicate a marathon in training.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like with you and your stitches.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to, you don't get the stitch in a marathon workout. Even these big crazy marathon
workouts.
So even
this, because I have the breaks. Yeah. So for me, it's like, so that's where it's different to a marathon. You get these little rests breaks in it. But
you can't run you can't go and do a marathon 2 weeks before the marathon.
No, exactly. But I don't know exactly how many Ks I ran this week, but I was running like a lot, like close to 200 Ks.
Yeah.
At this time. So
you're already doing it on tired legs.
Yeah, so you're doing it on tired legs. So it was 40K at just over 330s. So it's like you're running another 2K. It's a pretty good marathon still.
Yeah,
wow. But then after that, it's like very easy days for a few days. And then the last couple of workouts are nothing like that, but yeah, that's my
last big thing you do before.
A
couple of, lead on to that. A couple of people had asked me when my debut marathon is. I don't really know. I would like to do one this year, hopefully. I don't know. Yeah, if Nick and Collis, if they've got one plan for me, I just don't know. So.
Yeah. I'll go the next one from Riley Wolf. Have you guys donated any of your podcast revenue to the Shelby GoFundMe?
Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, so people don't know, obviously, I'm sure people know about Shelby Houlihan, who was the American, I think was the American record holder, still is in the 5K.
Yeah.
Very good 1500 meter as well, and she tested positive for some steroid or something. She made her excuse was that she ate a pork burrito or something.
Yeah, and awful. It wasn't even pork. It was awful. Yeah.
But she didn't order that.
Yeah.
She got given that. And
it was so many holes in
the story. It was just like a ridiculous story. And then she started to GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Asking for people to help fight it. And
It was like she needed 250 grand or something.
250 grand to pay legal fees or something.
And like, what did it get up to?
No, it was like barely anyone was. Yeah. I think most people.
It was like 11 grand or something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. She was well off her thing, but.
So no, Riley.
No, we're not. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So I'm actually going to Portland in a few weeks. So I might go and do some investigating myself and get to the bottom of this. And if I do take Shelby's side after that, then I'll our revenue. So she'll still have 11 grand.
That was a really abstract way to ask for sponsorship, wasn't it? Luke _ Nicholson, why is Brett wearing a biosensor on his arm and what info does this collect?
So I'm part of the VIS and they were doing a study about carbohydrate and like, I don't know, but people that have diabetes, it's showing me what my glucose, if it's in the right range.
It's a pretty new piece of technology.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's been around for ages with diabetics.
Yeah.
And then now
knew that athletes.
Yeah. So I think like we saw Matt Hauser, who's an Olympic triathlete, and he was like the first person I'd seen wearing one. And he used it. He was using it for training. I'm only doing it for a study. But and then Kipchoge started wearing one, and he wears it in marathons as well, and especially in training. So I guess he used it in a marathon when he was taking on drinks, what they were doing, if he was getting too low. So for me, I will be able to use some of this information, hopefully. It was kind of cool being able to race with it as well. So hopefully they'll get...
Your glucose spiked a lot. I remember you were doing
that. Yeah, so I think because on Tuesday when the physiologists were there and the dietitian at training, and we got pretty lactic, obviously, and then they said that when you get lactic, it can make it spike as well. So, but for me, I've been wearing it for 7 days now, and it's never dropped below, which I think is a good thing.
You've been in the range the whole time.
Yeah. So I've only been over twice, I think, after a race and after a session. But yeah, it's never dropped below. So I think if I was gone training and then dropping below, then obviously there'd be some flaws in my diet. But I don't know. I'll see what they say. But
I didn't see you check it after you finished that LCM before.
Yeah.
I've been spiking right out the range.
I've been choosing when to test it.
Exactly. Sculling a 2 liter bottle of Coke.
Yeah.
We have BTD Emmers. Oh, fucking cooked how I'm pronouncing that. BTD Emmers. Is that right? BT Demers. I reckon Brett's forgot to put a full stop or something.
No, I was saying it. I was practicing it.
He said, what is the most positive split race ever? And this took, Brett and I read this question a few times and thought, wow, is he asking what was our most positive experience?
He also said most positive split race /
rep
ever.
And then we're sort of thinking, is that asking what's our most positive race experience? But then I realized negative split, positive split. So he means biggest blow up.
Yeah.
In
layman terms, biggest blow up.
Biggest blow up. I would definitely say for me was that I've talked about it. I think maybe it's just on the other podcast, at Sydney Half Marathon last year or 2 years ago when I was racing against Liam and I cooked my diet. I'd had brown rice and vegetable soup before the race. Don't know why. I thought I was sort of trying to experiment with a sustained energy release sort of thing without any knowledge on on nutrition. And I ran with Liam up until I think 8K maybe, and I just couldn't run after that. And I think he beat me by about 4 minutes.
Yeah, so that's more to do with the food.
But also,
obviously it still is. But have you had any that have been just you've gone out way too hard or?
That 3K I did last year against Dave was pretty bad. I had a stitch. I feel like whenever, but there's always a reason why you blow up, isn't there? You're going to have something, as in it's either a stitch or your legs. I don't know. Yeah. I've had some shockers.
Yeah. I've had some shockers. It's in marathons.
What would you say your worst is?
Well, even when I ran my PB, I went through in a marathon. True. I went through 63:20.
Yeah. You and did then too. You're on pace for six. What's that?
And then ran 67:35.
Yeah, wow.
So
everyone was like, wow, good job, Brett, on your debut. And you're like, actually, it wasn't your debut, but good job, Brett. What'd you run? 2:10:55.
Yeah. So, and I was like, but that again was a lot to do with my stitch. I definitely would have slowed down, but I don't think I would have slowed down that much.
Because
I had to just jog for a bit.
Yeah.
You've
had some bad track.
New York Marathon's my proper block.
When you were leading.
Yeah. So we were at the Polish one the other day and this American was there and he was kind of just speaking. And I was telling him that I'm going to run New York half. And then he's like, have you run New York? I'm like, yeah, I actually led New York Marathon at 26K. And then I go, at 31K, I was crawling and I nearly didn't make it to the finish line. Yeah. But so that day, I don't remember exactly, but it was say 65:30 or something like that. And then, over 70 minutes for the second half.
Yeah, you ran, what did you run?
2:17 or 2:18, I think. Yeah.
Did Jack beat you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jack had a 9 centimeter fracture in his sacrum.
Yeah. At least put it on the line. So that's my, I've had
you would have had some. I've had some track ones.
Like track's always funny. Like some days you can go through, in a 5K, you can go through 3K. And
So
I've been through times where I've gone like 751 or 752.
Yeah.
And I've blown up and not broken 13:20.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Maybe we should have asked me this question after Box Hill Burn next week.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go, I've just said, fuck it, I'm going to go out at 758. The pace. So yeah, I might have my world's biggest blood next week.
Yeah, so if he is, we'll ask it again.
Good question from Jacob Gower here for you, Brett. What was it like leading a team of pacers at the Ineos 159?
Yeah, that was cool. That was like, it is always weird because...
Play it down. It was the highlight of your career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I'm like, going to say. It's like weird because it probably is definitely one of the highlights of my career. And it's not even me.
Yeah.
Like, I was just there.
It'll never
like,
be never
honestly, happened. I did like 2x5K in 14:10, which like I can do that, no worries.
Yeah.
But it was just
it's not a performance highlight.
Yeah, so though, it's just the experience of like how ridiculous it was, how big it was. Like there was 130,000 people there watching it.
Yeah.
And it's just you couldn't even so I was a captain and I had to like tell people to like if they were staying in position, if they were getting out of position and like kind of talk to them and no one could hear each other because it was so loud. So I had to like kind of yell to the person that was like half a meter in front of me. He then yell it down the line.
Yeah, wow.
Which like no one knew it was going to be like that and then how big it was. And then just like all the people that were watching back home and like people that have
insane.
Nothing to do with running. Yeah. And then, like that I know, and then they come back they're talking about that. And you're just like,
okay. I remember that. It was the one thing. It's like, oh, those. And so many times, you know, when I'm working at the wine store, someone will, like, not so much now, like it's, you know, it's how long ago was it?
2019. Yeah.
Definitely the 12 months following, I would hear, you know, people drinking, talking about it. And these are like not running people. And then people like would find out that I'm a runner and they'd be like, oh, wow, did you see that? And I go, yeah, my housemate was one of the pacers. Yeah. They're like, what?
Yeah, I remember being at a cafe. I think me and Jack went actually. And this would have been like December or something. So only a few months later, but it was like a Melbourne cafe, just like a little local one. And then the next table, just all these people talking about these.
Yeah.
Like, Eliud Kipchoge and this like sub 2 thing. And then I'm like,
did you say anything?
No, I didn't say anything. Oh. But then I'm almost like, surely they're going to recognize Jack. Because like Jack with his Mo, everyone like remembers that.
Surely you were filthy on Jack that he got to do the last one.
He definitely got
a good injection of Instagram followers after that.
So Jack actually, I think, could have been a captain as well. But then he had to choose between running the last one and then being a captain or something. Yeah. And he took the glory.
The last, yeah. You can see him on that footage and he's like, just like with the biggest smile and he's like, I'm going to get so many followers.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. He did. He got like and so many Strava followers too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. It was, it'll never happen again. That was a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's not like you can do that again unless there's going to be like a break in 150
years or something. No, that's why I feel pretty lucky to be like that. I got to be one of those.
How many Aussies did it?
4. So me, Stewie, Jack and Pat Tinnan.
Yeah.
So, which is, pretty cool.
Cool. Wayne.Oram has asked, our thoughts on more staggered starts like Hobart with the guys chasing the girls.
Yeah, it's good and bad because, it makes it exciting when there's races. Like obviously this year's, the finish was so good.
Yeah.
But in some years, it's just like, one year we caught the girls like at 5 or 6K.
Straight away.
And it's just like, so it makes no difference. But also it's, why can't it be like a sprint finish between the girls and then a few minutes later a sprint finish between the boys?
Yeah.
And like, you have two exciting races.
Exactly.
It's like, because even like Rose yesterday won, but she's probably got a little feeling if she lost.
Exactly. As well. Yeah. So. It's like, there's only one. Yeah. And that actually, that would be a really interesting, but then I suppose there's no incentive to chase the girls. But then I suppose if it's spectator friendly, who cares?
Yeah.
You're going to have two finishes within. That is cool.
But there's heaps of races that don't have, like incentives. So you still get two good races. So
true. The only people that lose out, I suppose, my parents, because they're like, oh, well, we're watching the live stream and it was only on Brett because you were dropped.
Yeah.
And they're like, I couldn't see. We saw you for the first K and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that could honestly make it, you could get more entertaining races if because I was chasing the girls for a part of it. So I was out by myself.
Exactly.
Where, yeah, you could get races where there's a pack running together. You're going, oh, what's going to happen in this last K?
Yeah. It would be really good on, say, a flat course like Gold Coast or something fast like that where they do it, because it would make people run really fast times, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, people would just be flying from the start.
Yeah. So, and there's always, yeah, then you get people that don't like Diamond Leagues because it's always just a time trial.
Exactly.
And they want racing. So yeah, it's, you can never please everyone is the biggest problem. But I think yesterday's race ended up being perfect for that.
Yeah. It was great.
But some years it's not.
Yeah, some years so, it's hard to tell, isn't it?
It's like when I won that pro race the other year, when it was like a sprint finish, and me, Gregor, and Stewie. Yeah. And I was loving pro races. Then I go back this year and
I'm never doing one again.
200 meters ago when everyone's finishing, I'm like, these are bullshit.
These are fucked. Yeah. George Wintle, how many Weet-Bix do you have for breakfast?
So day to day, I have four. I actually think I told, I think George asked me this because I told him. I was like, I went to dinner with him and a few other people the other night, and he got onto what I eat before runs, and I said I eat four Weet-Bix, bit of milk, bit of honey, and a coffee.
This is a famous Melbourne chef. You can
you can
search him online. I guarantee he's not having breakfast. He's not having breakfast. He's not having Weet-Bix for breakfast.
He'd be cooking up something extravagant, I think.
I don't have Weet-Bix personally. I have porridge, so unless I can find out the bowl of porridge to Weet-Bix ratio online, there's no answer for me there.
I guess probably people are more interested in what we eat before races.
Yes.
So I'm a big rice person.
Yeah. Me too. Both of us.
So before yesterday, I had 250-gram like microwave pack of rice, just white rice. I find it sits pretty well in my stomach.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to get down. You smashed it yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because I stirred a spoon and a Nutella through it.
Yeah.
It just made it into like a dessert. It was so good.
But I just sometimes when in those early races, it's just like
it is shit.
Like especially for a marathon when I've like carbo loaded and all I've eaten is rice.
Yeah.
And it's like one last thing of rice and just like spooning it down. It's just like not going down well. But and I think like before the Olympics, probably a bit nervous as well. So he's struggling to eat. So I think rice is always a good meal for me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think we spoke about that. Was it last week? The overcooked rice.
Yeah.
It's like we couldn't do that yesterday because we only had a microwave. You can't overcook it in the microwave.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of we're worried because the hotel didn't even have a microwave.
We had to ask the people at 4 a.m. if we can use their microwave.
The guy checked in, clocked on like 5 hours early to meet us in the kitchen to give us the microwave. Got one here from Bo Lang. Split versus half tights.
Oh, this is one of the most boring questions.
Come on, Bo. Pull your finger out.
I don't know. I can never decide on this either. It's more just about looks for me. I don't. Yeah.
For me. I never base things on physical appearance.
I prefer split shorts.
Yeah, split for me.
Yeah, I sometimes wear half tights, but maybe if I'm doing like a 5K and I'm worried about pulling my hammy.
There was that talk that with half tights in a marathon is better. You know, from the vibrations, right?
Yeah. But I just feel like the ones I got now aren't even
They're
tight.
Not that tight. Like unless you've got the real compression where they really, surely your muscles aren't, aren't against vibration when they're far looser than the full compression tights. Last question. We had a few people ask this, I think, based on, they were obviously sitting at home thinking, fuck, Brett really was a prick. Did you buy Rosa beer?
I bought a beer at the airport just to say, here's a beer. I'll keep that $3,000.
Yeah, I love that. it's like you won $2,995.
Yeah, but once I'd finished that beer, I said, Rose, it's your shout now.
She's like, please, can I borrow some money?
Sorry, Rose, again.
All right, guys, that's it for the first episode of the FTK Q&A workshop title.
We'll try and keep these nice and short.
That's it. Otherwise, you're going to be hearing too much of our voice during the week.
Yeah.
So, next week.
See you guys.